The truth of any matter can be a continuous search. How do you determine it? What is the barometer you use to establish verity in your life? There are so many outlets vying for your attention, attempting to define and redefine truth at every turn. The verity of the Word of God is the only standard that matters and never changes. It is the only truth that is perpetual and invariable, whether you believe it or not. Relying upon it as the authority in your life will bring you closer to your purpose and align you with its verity. Please join me on this episode of the Spoken Verity Podcast as my co-host and I speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Spoken Verity Podcast. My name is Arthur Medina, and I will be leading this week as we bring you episode 23. With me, as always, are my co-hosts for this episode, Brother Wiley Harris III and Brother Remy Echo. Welcome, brothers.
What's going on, boss?
How you doing, brother?
Great, great. What a blessing it is to share this time with you guys and, of course, the TSV family. And so, as always, we want to make sure that we approach the throne of grace and pray. Father, we just humbly come before you, and we thank you for another day and another opportunity to share your word. Father, we pray that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart will be acceptable in your sight, Lord. We thank you, Father, for who you are. We pray your Holy Spirit will continue to just show us the direction to go to further your kingdom, to encourage the brethren, and as always, Lord, just to give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Brother Wiley, would you please give us a recap of episode 22?
In episode 22, brothers, we started a three-part series titled The Divisions Among Us, The Color of Our Skin, Doctrine, and Denominations. Our focus for the opening episode was on the color of our skin and how that was a sovereign decision made by God. We also detailed for our TESV audience how our skin color is a part of God's plan for our lives. We then talked about how we are all from one blood of one man, as it says in Acts 17:26. We concluded the first episode in the series by testifying how we live our lives prejudice-free in our daily communion with others. As with all of our 22 episodes to date, we know in our spirits that this series is a timely word. If you didn't catch that show, you know you can find us on all major digital streaming platforms and on our website, thespokenverity.fm. We look forward to your continued support.
Thank you, brother. That was a very powerful episode, and I'm sure that there's many people that are going to be encouraged, many people that strongholds will be broken and people will repent and see where you're at in life and in your walk in this journey we have together. So today, as we speak about heaven, hell, and where is our destination, I want to start out by saying that without a doubt, there's two destinations that we're on, if you will. One is destruction, and one is life. You always have sayers and you have doers. The kingdom of heaven or hell. And as it was brought up, or as we talk about some of these topics of heaven, hell, and where our destination is, some of the things we need to keep in mind is this. One of those two places is where we're going to end up. Every year, 56 million people die. So when you break the numbers down, it comes down to 30 people die within 10 seconds.
Wow.
So this is something we have to think about. We have to consider, where are we going? So the purpose of this broadcast is to shed light on where are we going? How do we get there? So let's talk about, first and foremost, heaven. And Brother Wiley, we'll start with you. The question is, what does the Bible say about heaven?
Thank you, brother. I love how you typically ask questions that to a believer, the answer should be clear. But even a question like this one can be controversial. It shouldn't be, but it has been and can be. So scripture has plenty to say about heaven, specifically the new heaven our God has planned for us. And a lot of that is found in Revelation, specifically in chapters 21 and 22. However, to stay within the context of this question, I'm going to provide three proclamations backed by scripture concerning heaven. Heaven and the eventual new heaven is their eternal reward for those who believe and confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It is our everlasting habitation. A couple of verses for this. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in portions of Ephesians 2:6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Here's the second proclamation. Heaven is a place where our delegated authority as believers in Jesus Christ has power. One powerful verse for this that we shared and discussed in great detail, coupled with other scriptures during the authority we have as a believer in Jesus Christ series, is this one in Matthew 16:19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Last proclamation. Praise is directed from the throne of heaven for all eternity. Revelation 19:5 says, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. As a parting gift, which ties into my third proclamation, I want to highlight Psalms 19:1, which says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. These proclamations, backed by scripture, gives us a glimpse into what the Bible says about heaven.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Brother Remy.
Yes, sir.
What does the Bible say about heaven?
Thank you, brother. Just as my brother said, it is quite simple, but let's go to the Bible to see what the Bible says about heaven. Some of the scripture I'm about to read interweaves with what my brother already read, but that is expected when speaking the word of God regarding generic topics. The first thing it says is that the heavens is the dwelling place of God. And we see this verity in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, the opening of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in Heaven. King David also referenced this in Psalms 73, verse 25, when he says, whom have I in heaven but you? And to quickly add an addendum to this, our sovereign God is a spirit. He's not composed of matter, so he doesn't really have a physical location, just to be clear. But I just wanted to add that piece to there for the legalistic believers among us. Also, the Holy Spirit led Apostle Paul on a personal tour of heaven, and he shared that experience in 2 Corinthians 12, 2 through 4, where he stated, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. So we see that, as I stated in my first point, God dwells in heaven. There is communication within the Trinity in heaven, which Paul was giving a glimpse into. My brother touched on this point that I'm about to enumerate, but it's our citizenship in heaven, as stated in Philippians 3:20. for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our brother, Torren Wells, has that album and a song, like, I'm a citizen of heaven, right? Like, I am a citizen of heaven. Yeah, that's all I'm giving you guys. Get the ticket if you want to see me on stage, but that's
what
it.
What is happening? We're singing now. We've transitioned from podcast to concert.
God. Yes, it's all for the glory of God. Come on.
Amen.
Also, the Bible tells us that Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, ascended into the heaven. We find this in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Amen. Brother Wally touched on this chapter, but didn't go into it. But the Holy Spirit gave me this, and I'm going to share, wrapping up my contribution here from Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 through 5. Where John, the beloved disciple of Jesus, gives us an eloquent description of heaven as shared with him by the Holy Spirit. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And especially that solo.
You're welcome, brother. You're welcome.
That was making a joyful noise, just in case anyone needed a scripture for that.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, just think about that. These are some of the attributes of heaven, where we're happy, content, you know, just being who we are in Christ.
Amen.
So don't take the small things for granted.
Come on now.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
So when the Bible talks about heaven, you guys actually hit it right on the head. We'll probably have more emphasis on the latter question. So just to clarify how the Bible talks about, there's three heavens that are spoken of in Scripture. And all of you hit every single one of them. So I'll save us some time there. But you have the atmospheric heaven. You have the celestial heaven, where the stars are. And then you have, as y'all pointed out, heaven where God is dwelling. So this is our description of heaven. We'll get to, how do we get there? How do we know that that is where our destination is? But there is another side to that coin. And that is, what does the Bible say about hell? Because not everybody is going to heaven, unfortunately.
Amen, unfortunately.
And we pray that this podcast will help you, if by chance you're not certain of where your destination is, that today that will change for you, of knowing what your destination will be. In Jesus' name. So, Brother Remy, what does the Bible say about hell?
Thank you, brother. Again, a simple question, and we don't have to try to do anything but just go straight to scripture, right? First thing it says is that hell is reserved for the devil and the fallen angels. We find this in Matthew 25, 41. And these are the words of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Peter also referenced this in 2 Peter 2, verse 4, while giving examples to the fact that God judges evil. Here's what the Bible says. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Another thing we find about hell in the Bible, it is a place characterized by an unquenchable fire. And we find this verity in the book of Mark chapter 9, verse 43. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. And my last proclamation here would be from Revelations chapter 20, starting from the 13th verse to the 15th verse. Hell is the final dwelling place of death and the devil. The Bible says, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Thank God for his inscrutable grace and mercy. Amen.
Amen. Kind of somber question too, but it's something that's not talked about. We need to talk about it.
That's right.
Amen. Brother Wiley, what does the Bible say about hell?
Well, just like heaven, the Bible has a lot to say about hell. And as you have rightly stated, this is not something that we talk a lot about because it makes people uncomfortable. It then puts them on notice, so to speak, in terms of their consequences for life without Jesus Christ. And so what I really want to focus on here is to make the distinction between hell and the lake of fire. And I don't think that this is something that has been really talked about. And scripture is very clear that there is a difference between hell and in the lake of fire. I've spoken about this subject briefly in previous episodes. Hell is the holding place for those who have died without Christ as their Lord and Savior. The lake of fire is where unbelievers will be cast in, along with the enemy of our souls and the fallen angels, which are demonic spirits, for all eternity. That's the final place for them. This is the second death, as we see in Revelation 20:14. This verse is very lucid as to the separation between hell and the lake of fire. Brother Remy, you touched on this scripture a little bit. I want to expand upon it and give it a little bit more context. And this is from the King James, and it says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." So it's death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Hell is where the dead spirits of unbelievers reside in torment until the final judgment, along with the devil and his cohorts. The lake of fire is their eternal judgment. So it's already been written. It's already been determined. This is where you go in finality, the lake of fire. So we see that hell is a real place. Why don't we preach and teach about it more in the sense of what we must do to avoid that judgment? When we know the truth sets us free, as we see in John 8:32. The truth that is hell is reserved for those who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So I want to keep reiterating this piece because you don't have to go there. You have a choice. When we are called by Holy Spirit to partake in the free gift of salvation through belief and confession of Jesus Christ, we are not eternally damned anymore. Thank God for Jesus. As I conclude my answer, let's understand that God doesn't want us to go to hell and then to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. That is why he sent himself in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, into the earth to die and then be risen again on the third day by his spirit. Belief and confession of Jesus Christ keeps you from that eternal damnation. Remember Revelation 1:18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen.
and have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus has all authority over hell and death, which was made readily evident in 1 Peter 3:18 through 20. Now, there's a lot of theological interpretations about this passage of scripture, but what I want you to focus on is Jesus' authority over hell and death. You cannot preach to the spirits held in prison, which signifies hell. Remember the holding piece, the holding place, without complete dominion, complete power, and complete authority over it. 1 Corinthians 15:55. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? Glory be to Jesus Christ, our Lord, who took the sting out of death and gave victory over hell to those who believe in him. Rejoice, TSV family, for this eternal verity, this immutable proclamation in God's inerrant word.
Amen. Beautifully explained, brother, beautifully explained. And I'll just add to what you talked about in answering the question. There's different references in the Bible, and essentially Wiley cut it down to the two basic. Other references can be Gehenna, Hades, and these other references. And so I also like to say that sometimes we overlook the fact that hell is eternal separation from God.
That's right.
That is a scary thought. Because we're so used to God's unconditional love and grace. Even when we're in our mess, that's just unfathomable to think of separation from that. Just something to really, really think about. And I thank you guys for helping to explain to our listeners about the differences between heaven and hell. To kind of segue into the next question that I think we'll probably spend significant time on, I want to start out with a story. Okay. There was a pastor with one of his associate pastors at a restaurant in a booth. And they couldn't help but hear the guys that were next to him in the next booth who were saying, man, I cannot stand them Christians. I hate Christians. And they're talking among themselves, but they're talking loud enough for the pastor to hear them. So they're looking at a map and the guy said, well, why don't you move here? There ain't that. Maybe that'll be better for you. He goes, no, there's too many Christians right there. No, they're just way too many Christians there, and I just can't. I hate them Christians. And so the next guy said, well, why don't you go over here, like maybe Alaska? And he goes, no, there's too many Christians there, too. I can't stand these darn Christians. And that just kept going on and on and on. And finally, the pastor just couldn't stand it no more. He got up and went to their table and said, listen, why don't you go to hell? Ain't no Christians there.
Whoa. Holy Spirit of God.
But guess what? That is the truth.
That is exactly the truth.
Yep.
Holy Spirit.
It's funny, but it's not funny because ain't no Christians in hell. Let's talk about now the final question and the final segment. And that is, when we die, what happens? And how do we end up in one of those destinations? Brother Wiley.
Again, two clear and concise questions that has clear and concise answers. I will answer both simultaneously regarding the only two destinations one can go when they die. So, with all these other religious organizations that you have coined in terms of that phrase, Brother Arthur, and we've now continued to repeat starting, I guess, back with episode 20 or so, this is very important because if the enemy can convince those that are out here that are unsaved that there is no hell, that there is no place of judgment for how you live your life in this natural realm, then he can keep you connected to the sin and allow his purpose to flow through you. And this is another reason why we are continuing to speak these verities, these truths, because we recognize that it is not something that's being preached. It's not something that's being continuously talked about. And I'm not casting any aspersions on any of the shepherds of these houses necessarily, because that's not my role. It's not my job. But the fact of the matter is that we don't talk about these things, just like we don't talk about what we talked about in previous episodes in terms of being right with your brother before you give your gift. Like, that will affect the operations within the church. It's the same thing here. If you're talking about hell, people won't be comfortable, and then they won't come, and then they won't give. Now, again, I'm not casting any aspersions, but this is the mindset, mm-hmm. at least to a certain extent, is keeping us from speaking this truth. In scripture, we see that if we die without Christ, we go to hell first and then the lake of fire. We have provided several verses of scripture in the first two segments, specifically the second segment, to support that concerning the difference between hell and the lake of fire. But let me add one more for anyone who may still have doubts concerning the lake of fire and who goes there for all eternity. This is from Revelation 21:8. You know, when you read Revelation, there's a blessing that comes from that. And it's very important to read through that. Now, you may not understand all of it when you go through it. Matter of fact, if you understand every word that's written in there from the very beginning, you need to open, have your own podcast immediately and start talking about these things, because Revelation is yes. a book that has mm-hmm. so many mysteries mm-hmm. that it requires constant study. Mm-hmm. Now, all mm-hmm. the Word of God does, but this that chapter specifically is mm-hmm. talking about things in Revelation that talks about what is happening now, mm-hmm. what happened in the past, and what will happen in the future. Mm-hmm. So that prophecy that's coming out is something that, if you're able to pick up on it from the very beginning, or your relationship with Holy Spirit is at another level. So again, this is something that is very important. And as we talk about what happens when we die, this chapter and verse tells us very clearly. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars.
Mm.
Talking about that in episode 22.
Mm.
What does it say of the ones that are liars? Those that say they love God and hate their brother. Mm. Here it is. Remember, again, TSV audience, this is not someone that lied. Duh. And I've emphasized the end piece because that's an event. It's a one-off. Everybody makes mistakes. But we're talking about living a lifestyle of being fearful, of being unbelieving, of being a murderer, a whoremonger, a liar. That's what we're talking about here. There's a difference. These people, scripture says, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The eternal sentence for all unbelievers is the lake of fire. For those who have called on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved.
Come on.
This saving brings us to our eventual eternal place in heaven, and then eventually the new heaven John describes in the last couple of chapters in Revelation. Only believers in the Son of God have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life to have eternal life in the new heaven foretold by the Old Testament prophets and the new. Brother Remy, you expanded upon this with great specificity earlier in the episode. It is clear in scripture, and I will reiterate once more as I conclude my answer, that without Christ, you will be eternally separated from his love with no hope of eternal life and sentenced to eternal damnation in the lake of fire. Brother Arthur, you kind of segued into this third segment with that, this the understanding of what hell is in terms of an eternal separation from our God, and how sobering that is to think that our loving God has a place not necessarily because of what he wanted, but because of choices that were made that then had to have the judgment for those choices. Belief and confession of Jesus Christ is what allows for salvation and seals you by the Holy Spirit to be with our God, the Father, in heaven for all eternity. For all of those listening right now, as we continue to do in every episode, please allow this message from Holy Spirit to draw you to our Lord and Savior. Don't let this time pass without receiving the free gift of salvation. The choice is yours, heaven or hell, for all eternity.
Thank you, brother. Brother Remy, when we die, what happens? How do we end up in one of these destinations?
Thank you, brother. So my brother has eloquently stated what happens with unbelievers. And again, the Holy Spirit, being who he lovingly is, led me to focus on what happens with believers. When believers in Jesus Christ die, they are immediately present with the Lord. This is what the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We also see this in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. This is Paul speaking. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Now, I know, as my brother Wally stated, some religious organizations and believers in Jesus Christ talk about different places. You know, they erroneously talk about purgatory and other places as an intermediate state or place where souls will be before they enter heaven. But the assumption here is that there will be an additional process required beyond the process of this present life. And that is where there is an error with that belief. That is definitely not true. We can find the truth about this in the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 43, where Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, says these words to the thief on the cross next to him. Assuredly, I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So we see here that there is no additional process that needs to take place. When we erroneously hold to such belief, we are vacating the cross, saying that, okay, what Christ did on his cross, his appropriation for our sin is not enough. There is now some other thing that we have to do, which is not true. And the second part of your question, how do we end up in that destination? Well, for believers, we end up in heaven by confessing Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That seals us. And for unbelievers, it is rejecting Christ. Simple and true. That's how I answer your question, brother.
Thank you, brother. Both responses were phenomenal. And it's amazing to see how the Holy Spirit moved with us on this. I want to go to answer the question starting in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. And before I read this, you know, this was probably the saddest verse to really read and share because, you know, it's so humbling and at the same time sad when you think about what is said right here. So in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I, Jesus Christ, will declare to them, I never knew you. Leave me, you who practice lawlessness. How many of us are sitting there thinking we're doing ministry for God and we're doing this, we're doing that, and just think, if God were to say that to us, and there is no coming back from that, because at that point, it's too late. So I want to read that one more time. Out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Paraphrasing now, didn't we do this ministry for you? Didn't we do this podcast for you? And Jesus declared to them, I never knew you. Leave me. Depart from me. So going from there to Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 19, it's pretty lengthy, so bear with me. The rich man and Lazarus. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, enjoying himself in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed from the scraps which fell from the rich man's table. Not only that, the dogs also were coming and licking his sores. Now it happened that the poor man died, and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's arms. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, remember we said there's different references, and in Hades he raised his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his arms. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set, so that those who want to come over from here to you will not be able, nor will any people cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I request of you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not come to this place of torment as well. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. Likewise, the truth can be right in front of you, and you just refuse to accept it. I can just say that I have good news for those that find themselves right now examining themselves, as we always encourage you to do. Keep examining yourself. That's part of the process of moving from glory to glory, of us trying to be better, trying to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The thing is this, the good news is that there's nothing you have to do. Nothing. It's already been done. And I know that it seems simple. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
We keep saying it's simple, but it's not simple. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult, and it ain't going to get easier. The Bible tells us this, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Yes, sir.
There's nothing for you to do. You can get baptized till you look like a prune.
Mm-hmm.
You can have your name on every church roster there is. You can do all the ministry. You can do anything and everything you want to do. But guess what? That's not what's going to get you into heaven. It's not. Scripture says that in him we live, we move, and have our being. So being is more important than doing. So my brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you with the very same scripture that we looked at, that's the saddest passage of scripture we can possibly read or be told. He very clearly says in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but there's the good news right here. The one who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. There's no doubt about that. Walk with confidence in who you are as a new creation in Christ. Continue to seek his face daily. Ask God to help you to walk this journey out. And most importantly, don't rely on how you feel or your emotions and sometimes even your thoughts. Go based upon what God says in his word and his promises to you.
Yes.
That are yes and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God does not want you to perish. We all quote John 3:16 all day long. Let's look at John 3:16 and what it really is. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So it's done. It's he's made a way for us. So I would just hope that we'll take the time, not just for ourselves, but that's a very, very scary situation. I don't want to see my brothers and sisters, whether my biological or non-biological, I don't want to see anyone perish. Let's change by continuing to seek his will, by seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, and allowing God to use us to change that trajectory of people's destinations. You have the ability and the power to change that for someone. You can help someone to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, thereby changing their eternal destination by simply being who you are in Christ. My brothers, is there anything that you would like to add?
Just to say thank you for that last bit there, because we always say this, right? We believers are the 67th book of the Bible that people will read. It is one thing for us to talk about the places we are going, heaven or hell. It's another thing for us also to help people get to heaven, right? We are brothers on this podcast. We have, God has allowed us to be great friends. And when we have something, if we experience something that is good, we share, like, hey, have you tried this? Have you gone to this place? You know, whatever it is. It's the same thing as believers to unbelievers, you know, rather than point out you going to hell. Why don't we testify of the goodness of heaven? Why don't we testify of the other side? Let them know, just like you have eloquently stated, like, there is life on this side. You get so much, you know, like pointing out the positive rather than the negative. And I'm not saying this to say we don't talk about hell. Absolutely. It is a real place. But we do that with the juxtaposition of pointing out that, hey, this is that place, but here is a better place. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's a great point, brother. I want to add
before you close. You know, this is not what our God wants in terms of hell for his creation. Obviously, there has to be a consequence, an eternal consequence for those that have rejected his son, just because of the fact that that's the scenario. That's the way he sovereignly designed this whole experiment in terms of the human capacity. And when I say designed it, meaning he knew that these things would occur. It wasn't something that he was the impetus for necessarily, but it more so had to do with the fact that there is a reward for your belief and confession of his son, and there is a judgment for those that don't. So I wanted to highlight 2 Peter 3:9 quickly, just because this kind of embodies and encompasses what I just said and what we've been talking about here on this episode. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The NIV says, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This is what he wants.
Mm.
Now, it's still an act of your will, though. If you do not choose to believe in Jesus Christ while you are here on the earth, you will die and go to hell.
Mm.
That's the sobering reality. We are not here to sugarcoat this. Mm. We are here to help you to that end in terms of belief in Jesus Christ through the Spirit of the living God. We would not be doing and operating within our calling if we did not do that. And I am thankful for my brother Arthur talking about this subject, because we talk about this being a very simple and rudimentary exercise, heaven or hell, because it's been talked about like that, even in popular culture. The issue is by simplifying it, we don't understand the eternality of heaven and hell, the fullness of that. And so by this episode, prayerfully, and maybe future episodes, this will cement in your mind, TSV audience, the importance of your decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, so that you can reign in life with Christ Jesus in eternity in heaven forever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, brothers. Brother Remy, could you please give us a preview of episode 24?
Thank you, brother. TSV family, as we wrap up the first season of your favorite podcast, we will, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit as always, examine the return of Jesus Christ in episode 24.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, brothers, and thank you, TSV family, for listening to us. We pray that God's word will have ministered to your heart and minds, and we just pray again that if there's anything that you have in question about something that was said, don't hesitate to reach out to us. We welcome that. So let's close out in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this time we've had to fellowship. We just lift your name on high, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for making a way for us to have eternal security in heaven. And that's through your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your unconditional love towards us, that you would not want any of us to perish, but instead to have eternal life. And we thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you for listening to TSV this week. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you use to do so. Please know that we love and care about you. If you haven't believed and received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to do so today. Please go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation to accept the leading of the Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until our next encounter, speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth, that is the word of God and love. All the blessings.